In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a second, I have a text message. It's a strange moment, right? Here, it's a strange moment, but in our world, this is the way of our world, isn't it? Every time you turn around, this is what we see. Now, I don't know how big your phone is. This is mine. It's off now, so if you think you're going to call me to interrupt me, don't bother. That's a pretty small screen. And majority of us will spend, oh, I don't know, your phone will tell you. I don't know if you've checked that, but I bet the average person in here spends 3 to 6 hours staring at this little screen. Amen? That's the way the world is. I mean, it is so bad, brothers and sisters. I sit at green lights because the person in front of me is too busy looking at their phone to realize that the red light they stopped to wait for has turned green. And they have no idea because this is all they see. All they see. It's the fullness of their vision at the moment. And the interesting thing is we think it's keeping us connected. And I don't think we've ever been more distant. It's a lie. We think we're staying up on what's happening in the world. The only thing you're staying up on is the things that the internet thinks you're interested in. How many people get ads for vestments in your news feed? Yeah, right? Myself, the Verger, a couple of people who bought maybe something in the last year or so. But that's what shows up in my news feed. Those are the advertisements, vestments, church stuff. It is such a strange anomaly that, and yet we still think this is how we're going to keep up with what's happening in the world. And yet the very thing we use and turn to keep us informed of what's happening in the world only informs us of the things that it thinks we're going to like. And it's not really that good at it because I used Google Translate to write a message for the Spanish Cursillo weekend. So this week, half of everything in my newsfeed is in Spanish. It suddenly thinks I speak Spanish. I do not. I have tried. I have asked God to give me the gift of tongues specifically in Spanish. It hasn't worked out yet. It's another one of those things I'm going to have to put effort into, undoubtedly. But the reality is we look at this little screen constantly, sometimes a bigger one, and we think we're getting everything we need, and all it does is feed us the world. It's just the world, and we lose sight of it. We lose sight of the reality, and we find ourselves isolated. More and more. We can't even sit down and have an intelligent conversation with another intelligent human being on a subject in which we disagree. And in fact, if you do that, and it becomes known, the people who thought you agreed with you will be upset with you because they saw you interacting with a person they don't agree with. And now they have to question whether or not they can be in agreement with you or even be friends with you. Amen? It's no wonder we can't solve any issues in this world because no one wants to sit down and have the conversation, whatever the conversation of the day should be. Because we are isolated and we are isolating ourselves over and over and over, and it is what we practice, amen? It is what we do. Maybe you've had this happen to you. You go to a restaurant and you sit down at your table with the person you're there with and you look around the room and people are sitting at the restaurant looking at their phones a foot and a half away from somebody presumably they cared enough about to go have a meal with, and they don't say a word to one another. That's odd, isn't it? It is so odd that my lovely bride and I went to a restaurant, probably after church, when we were still in Bradenton, and still eating food like that, which we're not allowed to do anymore. And we sat down, and there was a table, had an entire family, several children, and the most amazing thing happened. They were having a conversation. Intergenerationally, the children were talking to the adults are talking to the children are talking to each other. It was amazing. All we talked about at our table is how amazing it was to see this family interacting together over a meal. It was so moving, to be honest, that on the way from the restaurant, my wife stopped by the table to congratulate the parents on doing such a fine job of engaging their children. See, because we isolate even from our children. We hand them something to look at so that they'll be quiet and behave properly from day one now. We're creating isolation. I actually know a young man personally that spent his young years at church events all over the Diocese of Southwest Florida, and he spent most of his time sitting in the back of the room or the back pew with some sort of a device in his hands. He's now mid to late 20s, and you know, the last time I spoke to him, I said, "How are you doing?" He says, "Terrible. My life's a mess. Going nowhere." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I don't know." "What do you do?" "Play video games." "Girlfriend? Job?" "Well, yeah, I got a job. I go to work, I come home, I play video games." He doesn't even know how to have a conversation with another human being, even someone who's known him almost his entire life. This is what isolation looks like in adulthood. And we as adults aren't much better. We tend to isolate. I do the same, although you probably won't catch me sleeping through the green light because I just hate being in traffic. But we are so bad, so bad. I was coming up to a traffic light. I was going to get in the left-hand turn lane. The car in front of me kind of finally moved far enough forward for me to get to the left-hand turn lane. The light was green, by the way. And the car is moving slowly. And I'm thinking, just go. So I get in left-hand turn lane, and as I come alongside, this person, an adult, is staring at her phone. And her car's moving forward, and now the light has turned red. I lay on my horn. She almost had a heart attack. And she was pretty angry with me by the look on her face, and I just went and pointed at the red light. I'm positive she was going to drive through the red light because she had no idea what was going on around her at all, because whatever was on that phone is what mattered most. And we all know well that whatever was on that phone is the same kind of stuff that's on your phone, and I promise you, it'll wait. It'll wait until you can make it to the green light. It'll wait until you make it home. It'll wait. It's not necessary. And I have to say, this isolation that we're feeding into constantly, building into our lives, and then even isolating ourselves from an intelligent conversation and a train of thought where we might actually share ideas that might move this world in the direction of being together as opposed to separating, we miss it. We're missing it because we're staring down all the time. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I think it's time we look up. Even since Moses, when the people were getting bit by the serpents, he built the staff with the serpent on it. And what did they have to do to get healed? Look up. This is Easter. Look up. Your healing's here at this cross. That's where it took place. Jesus says, look up. And we all are looking down. It's creeping into our faith, this isolation. It's creeping in. It's everything when it can fit. We find ourselves trying to figure out how to move and how to do. But isolation has become our practice. It's our focus. And we just say, okay, I can't tell you how many times I try never to do it, and I pray I've never done it to you. If I do, you could say, you know, I'm right here. But please don't let me take a phone call if we're in a conversation. You don't count. It's usually one of y'all, just for the record. I'm no better. I'm not claiming to be the one who knows how to do it all. I'm here with you. But it's creeping into our faith too, because this is what we practice, this isolation. But the good news is, as always, in the gospel. And it's in here today. At least I see it in here, and hopefully I'll convince you of it too. Jesus is describing, just briefly, the root of our biggest battle as Christians in this world. He's describing it, and then he's telling us at the same time what to do about it. As we look at this concept, verse 15, chapter 14 of John says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." But if our focus is the world and our practice is isolation, we constantly, as Christians, find ourselves in a battle of trying to walk this line. We're trying to be fully in the world and fully in our faith, and we walk around like this. You ever tried to walk on two sides of something? Next time you're at the park and there's a balance beam, don't walk on it. Put your leg on either side and try and walk down it. Looks awkward, doesn't it? I mean, look at me. Everybody's thinking, what's wrong with him now? I mean, even in this dress, you can see that's awkward. Because that's not where we're supposed to live, brothers and sisters. We're supposed to live in Christ. Now, the direction I move is not a political statement. I just happen to be right-handed. We're supposed to be in Christ. And so what do? We get tired. We go, go, go. And then we say, I need a moment in Christ, whether we just need to breathe for a second, or we're sick, or somebody's dying, or somebody died. And for some moment, we go, where can I find what I'm looking for? And we go, we'll find it in Christ. And then we step back in fully. And we breathe. And we find the peace of God in the midst of our chaotic life. We find comfort. We find healing. We find truth. And we see it. And then the world, we look up, oh, but that's a really, really shiny car. Maybe I'll step into the world just a little. I won't get out. And then the next thing happens, we're all the way over here. And we're looking down. And we're isolated. And our lives are becoming chaotic. And we don't know what to do. So what do? We blame God. I don't understand this God. Why would he let this happen? How do these things happen in my life? Why isn't he here? Why doesn't he do something? And God's standing over here going, come back. I'm right here. In fact, he is so close. He is in you. That's why you feel the chaos. You keep moving away from him, and it's like you're ripping yourself apart. You cannot walk away from God, brothers and sisters. Once you come too close, you're just too close. You can walk away if you want, but I promise you chaos. Tell me I'm wrong. Anybody done it? Gotten too close to God and you walked away and your life's complete chaos and you're thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And then you walk back and you go, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I belong, in Christ. Is where we belong. And this is where he calls us to be, and he's just so lovingly and gently telling us that today. And I say, what good news can that be for those of us who continually find ourselves looking down and practicing isolation in a world who strangely encourages you to be more isolated, more divided, constantly divided. Even to the point, that we are all getting to be afraid. How many of you are afraid to stand up and openly share your views on any hot topic in this world? I mean, with anybody. Some people can't even have the conversation under their own roof, let alone have the church come together and have the conversation. We can't handle it anymore because we don't understand that we're actually on the same side with different understandings. I've been married to this woman almost 32 years. Yes, Father, it's been that long. And we still cannot come to agreement. And I have to tell you, not on everything. It brings me joy because it helps me grow when somebody I know and love and trust can show me God in a situation. It puts me over here where I can then look at this world and I can see how God is moving. But if we practice looking at the world and how the world is moving and how the world is isolating, how the world is separating, it is hard to see God, amen? We look at the world and go, the whole thing's crap. And then we stand in it anyway. And we live in it. And you don't have to. We can step over here in this same space, in this same world that we're living. And when we enter in and we're in Christ, we look over and then we begin to see the brokenness and the pain and the shame and the struggle. We had a man who used to live on our property at our store down in Sarasota, the family's business. His name was Clay. He seriously lived on and off on the property for 20 years. To everyone else in the world, he was just the local drunk. And he was definitely the local drunk. He was a mess. And then he would sober up for a period of time, and he'd work around the property, and we'd give him money for food or give him food and other things and help him get back on his feet. And then he would go out again, and he would be a mess, and most of the people in the neighborhood would just go, oh, it's just Clay, he's just a drunk, he's a useless, worthless drunk. Clay was a World War II veteran. He sat on an airplane as a paratrooper, waiting to be the next wave at Normandy. Can you imagine how that must have felt as all the reports of the slaughtering of human beings on that beach were making it back? And here he sat as a young man on an airplane, and they're telling him, you're next. Just hearing it startles me. He lived it. And then he came back, because he never got sent. And while he was in New York City, someone attacked him, cut his throat, stole everything he had and left him laying in an alley. He carried the scar. Didn't kill him. It was superficial, if you can have a knife slit your throat and have it superficial. And strangely, at that time in his life, there wasn't anybody to run to him and say, we really need to get you in touch with a good trauma therapist. So he lived his whole life trying to cover that pain, and he did it with alcohol. And he never came out because he was isolated and unacceptable. See, when you stand over here and you live in Christ, people like Clay look different to you. People who are different than you look different, but yet the same. Because when we live in Christ, what we recognize is someone else's Christ living in them. We have to see to do this. We have to open our eyes, brothers and sisters. And we can look at that and we can say, but that's too big of a struggle, Father. We don't know how to do that. And I'd say, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit, so that God can be in us. Not so that we can do these amazing things all the time, but maybe we could just do the one amazing thing with the advocate's help and love God so that we can better learn to love one another. I can't do that on my own. There isn't a single person in this room that can love me without the help of God. I promise. So don't think you can do it. But I would say to you, if you continually find your life in chaos, you may want to see what side of the line you're standing on and step back over to your life in Christ, because you're not getting away from it now, so you might as well just see. In another group that I've been attached to for 20 plus years, they would say it like this: try it for 90 days. Focus on it for 90 days. If you don't find what you're looking for, we will gladly refund your misery. Brothers and sisters, focus on God. Focus on a life in Christ. I'm not talking about trying to force yourself to read the Bible. I'm talking about sitting with God on a daily basis and just saying, Lord Jesus, send your advocate today so that I can stay focused on loving you, so that I can see your goodness in this world. Try it for 90 days. If your life doesn't change, they'll gladly refund your misery. But I promise you it will change. Jesus says, love me. Trust me. Have faith in me. That is a complete and total trust in God that he's asking us for. And we continue to put our trust and our faith and our hope in the world. How's it working out? Check your news feed, it'll tell you. Probably not great, but here Jesus is saying, I am sending the advocate so that you can do this, because the world is never going to see him. The world is not going to know him, but you do. Jesus says, love me and follow me. Jesus wants to abide in you. And we're afraid to let go of the world, that we won't be who we thought we were, that other people might think less of us. And Jesus says this, faithful ones, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And he is here. And he is with you. And he's saying, I will abide in you. Look up. Take in the true love of God. Stop isolating. Sit with another human being. Trust in the Lord, for he is good.